Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
Hunter Biden showed up today for a GOP hearing, but he wasn't supposed to. We'll talk about that. Dr. Rand Paul is here. Are we ever going to get a COVID reckoning? All that World Economic Forum talk and more coming up tonight on I'm Right. Hunter Biden, I got to tell you. Now, I'm going to say something, and you're going to get mad at me. All right, I'm just going to throw this out there right off the bat. I've got to be honest with you. I always owe you honesty. Part of me is morbidly fascinated with Hunter Biden. I know he's a grease fire. I understand he is. But there are some people who are screw-ups. And then there are people who they've taken screwing up to a whole other level that normal people will never go to. And he's just a disaster in every possible way. We're going to get to the story today of him showing up. I just have to explain myself before we get to this here. He not only commits inhuman amounts of crime, and the reason I say inhuman amount is because of this. We already have a laptop. This is one laptop. Hunter Biden has had many laptops. We have one laptop of his with an unending amount of felonies. Not only did he commit them, he recorded all of them and put it on a laptop for safekeeping. He bought a gun when he wasn't supposed to. He, just trying to think of the best way I can put this, had a relationship with his dead brother's wife. He knocked up a stripper. He's just a disaster. And I find it fascinating that anybody, let alone a grown man in his 50s, could be this much of a grease fire of a human being, yet he is. And that brings me to today. The big story of today was the GOP was having a hearing. A hearing that Hunter Biden is not really supposed to be at. Hunter Biden showed up anyway, and well, here's how it went.
First of all, my first question is, who bribed Hunter Biden to be here today? That's my first question. Second question, you are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Hunter. Oh, apparently, you're afraid of my words.
Whoa.
I'd like to reclaim my time, Mr. Chairman.
Burst their bubble. Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah. So, look, all that's obviously embarrassing. And it's all a show. We're a serious nation with serious problems, and this is what's going on. But there are a couple things happening here. First, Hunter Biden defied a subpoena. What he's doing is he's playing the public relations game. All right, now there's a saying in law. You've heard me say this before. This is not my saying. I'm not a lawyer. I have family members who are, and they all know this saying. Apparently, they teach all lawyers this saying. When you have the truth, you pound the truth. So what does that mean? What does that mean? If I don't have any evidence that I wasn't in the gas station doing the stick up with a mask on my face, I don't have evidence. I don't have cell phone data. I don't have anything like that. But I really was at home in bed. I didn't rob the gas station. Then as a lawyer, that's what I will be screaming. I couldn't have. I was at home. I was in bed. If you have the truth, you pound the truth. If you have the facts, you pound the facts.
How could I have robbed the gas station? I have evidence right here. I have a camera. I was in a sports bar watching a game. Here's the facts. The camera time stamped. I was not there. The facts. But what do you do if you don't have either of those things? You don't have the facts. You don't have the truth. In fact, you're probably guilty. Well, you don't stop pounding. You have to pound something. As a lawyer, you know, if you have the truth, you pound the truth. If you have the facts, you pound the facts. If you don't have anything, you pound the table. What's that mean? You make a spectacle of it. You make a bunch of noise. What Hunter Biden's doing here is making a spectacle of it. The crimes Hunter Biden is being accused of, the thing about these crimes is not many of them are really debatable even. His gun charge, for instance. He committed a felony. We don't have to wait for a trial. We know he lied on the form you have to fill out to purchase a firearm. That's a felony. It's black, white. It's black and white. There's no middleman. No quibbling over the details here. He committed these crimes. So what's he going to do? He's going to make a gigantic spectacle of the whole thing. That's mainly what you're seeing, playing the public relations game. I'm not scared. I'm here. This is what he's doing. Okay, that's one. But there's a second thing that he's doing. And this part's not good. Remember how we were talking yesterday, and we've been talking recently about how they're removing Trump's name off the ballot, and they're already beginning to make a push to remove other Republicans from the ballot. Now, this is going to come back to Hunter. Just stay with me. And if you watch this show, if you listen to my radio show, you know what we've been talking about without end. It's not just that they're doing these things. They're doing these things without fear. Look, forget about reasoning with them or bringing them over to your side. Forget any of those things. If you're sitting down and you're a communist and you're thinking about removing a Republican from the ballot so you don't have to worry about those pesky little elections, forget about your heart or morals or any of those other things. You should be afraid to do that. You should be afraid of the retribution that will come for you if you do that. What if they remove my name off the ballot? What if they arrest my congressman? What if they do this? What if you should have fear. But time and time and time again, the communist in America proves right now that he has no fear, none of Republicans, none. You can feel bad for all those congressmen in there trying to ask Hunter questions. Hunter, where are you going? But what you should be asking is, why isn't Hunter Biden afraid at all? Defied a subpoena, showed up, and essentially gave Republicans in Congress the double middle finger. Not an ounce of fear. He's out there giving press conferences afterwards.
What's your favorite type of crack? Are you on crack today?
Biden, why did you put your dad on speakerphone with your business partners if he had no involvement in your business?
Do you have a dad? Does he call you?
Yes.
Did he answer the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
But why did you need to talk to him during business meetings if he had nothing to do with your business?
Whoa. You're dangerous. You're very dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, let's just get this out of the way before we move on here. Again, I want to make sure we're not once again adopting the communist's language, handing him his premise. It's not Hunter Biden's business. It's not Hunter's business. Hunter's business. Hunter Biden's business. Was Joe involved in Hunter Biden's business? What about Hunter's business? How involved was Joe in Hunter Biden's business? Hunter doesn't have a business. Hunter is a loser. A lifetime drug addict loser with no skills, nothing to sell at all. Hunter Biden has no business. It wasn't Sammy the Bull Gravano's mafia family. It was John Gotti's mafia family. Sammy the Bull did the things John Gotti wanted him to do. Hunter Biden doesn't have a business. Joe Biden has a business. Hunter doesn't. Joe is the one with things to sell. Joe's the one selling money, access, power. Hunter has none of those things, but setting that aside, Hunter Biden just showed up and embarrassed the GOP, embarrassed everyone today. Now, is Hunter Biden actually going to go to jail for contempt? Well, you remember when Margo Cleveland came on the show, she said this.
doubt he's going to jail because he will be able to allege as a defense that he has the Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself. And that'll probably keep him out of the pokey and not have to go to jail for it.
Okay, so he's probably not going to go to business. Now, what's another big story out of all this? Joe Biden is in serious trouble, not with Republicans. They lack the guts to ever actually do something to him. Joe Biden's in trouble with Democrats. There's a reason Joe Biden left town and Gavin Newsom visited the White House the day he left town. That's uncomfortable. You know where Gavin Newsom just was? He was on vacation in Mexico with Bill Clinton. Guess who still has a machine set up to run for president? The Clinton family, courtesy of Hillary still. Joe Biden and the Biden family, they're going to get knifed in the back by Democrats who don't want to risk losing. Why do you think Michelle Obama, that dirty commie, is on TV talking about how scared she is about 2024?
The things that keep me up, because you don't have control over them. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, where are people, where are we in this? Where are our hearts? What's going to happen in this next election? I am terrified about what could possibly happen, because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit, it affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted.
Ouch. Don't have to read too deep between the lines to see that as a little shot across the bow at Uncle Joe. Is it going to be Michelle? Going to be Gavin Newsom? I don't know, but I've been telling you for a while, it ain't going to be Joe Biden. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You know what makes me comfortable? Trashing Dr. Fauci. Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, is going to join us, and we're going to talk to him about Fauci and Fauci's lies in front of the Senate. Before we get to that, let's do this. They're not done printing money. And as I've told you over and over and over again, yes, the 2024 election's important, and yes, we want to get after it, but something that's real that we don't want to talk about is, even if Republicans win everything in 2024, there aren't going to be any spending cuts. They don't cut spending. Nobody does. Republicans don't. Democrats don't. They all spend without end. Nobody wants to be the one to stop the party and start the cleanup. So what can normal people do to protect their money? Your retirement, your 401k, your IRA, what can you do? Get some gold or silver as part of it. But how do you do that? I don't know how to do that. Do you? You don't have to. That's what Oxford Gold is here for. They handle this for you. Gold coins and silver coins delivered to your front door, and precious metals as part of your retirement account. But they can't do this if you don't call. You're just going to sit and watch the retirement you've worked for evaporate in front of your eyes? Call 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. All right? We'll be back. Dr. Fauci, are we going to get a reckoning for the people who destroyed this country and the things they did to us during COVID? No, I'm not hopeful of that, but I am at least relieved that there are some people who give enough of a crap to start asking some hard questions. Dr. Fauci just had to give testimony in front of the House. And look, there are all kinds of doozies I could give you here. He doesn't recall anything. That's, of course, what liars and criminals say. The whole social distancing. Remember when we reordered all of American society, the stupid little footsteps on the grocery store floor? Yeah, that was based on absolutely nothing whatsoever. Anyway, is anything ever going to happen to this guy? I don't know, but at least somebody's trying to do something about it. Joining me now, one of the few decent senators we have, Senator Rand Paul, great state of Kentucky, author of the book Deception. And wow, is that an appropriate book for this time we live in. Senator, Dr. Fauci simply doesn't recall. Are we going to do this thing where we give him the benefit of the doubt, or are we just going to accept the fact he's a dirty liar?
For a smart guy who seemed to think he was smart enough to give pronouncements as to how we lived, whether we could go to church, how close we could be to each other, whether we should wear one mask, two masks, earmuffs, or eye goggles, all of this crap he was so smart to inform us on, but he doesn't seem to recall now most of the evidence or science behind it. And when asked whether he funded the research, he said, absolutely, we funded research and I approved all of the research that was funded. I just don't know if there was any oversight if it happened in a foreign country. And I didn't read most of it. He admitted that he did not read most of the research that he approved. Now, what we've been trying to get at for 2 years now, almost 3 years, is that there was an internal process where they go over what they call dual use or dangerous research, gain of function research, every week at the NIH. So the people doing the internal review of this research never sent it to the pandemic committee, which was the ultimate safety committee. But this only happened with Fauci's approval. And this is really the crux of his malfeasance, not just bad judgments on school and masks and everything else, but they allowed this research money to go to China without sufficient oversight, without it going before the safety committee. But essentially, he approved exempting them from scrutiny, and that has not been properly investigated, and he has not gotten proper blame or punishment for what he did in allowing this pandemic to occur. So I'm not done. I'm not finished. I'm not willing to give up on this. I fight every day trying to get Democrats to support any efforts. And if we ever get a Republican president, I will be there in the beginning of the administration, making sure that whoever is appointed to be Secretary of HHS gives all access. They're not going to destroy these records because that's probably a crime, but they've hidden them. And I'm going to get every bit of access, but I can only do it with a Republican president. The Democrats will not allow it to happen. But if we get a Republican president, I will get to the bottom of this.
Senator, I know it sounds like a detail, but it's something I know it's going to be something you care about. How is that not criminal? Even the negligence. Negligence can be criminal. How can you, no matter who you are, take our money, hand it to some scummy country like China, and then say, well, we didn't do oversight on it. That should be a crime. How do you take my money and your money and do that with my money? That's got to be criminal.
The one thing we do know is a crime is lying to Congress. If you worked in the Trump administration, the Department of Justice went after you tooth and nail if they thought you lied to Congress. I've referred him twice to the Department of Justice for lying, saying that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in China. We now know from his private emails that he acknowledged that it was gain-of-function research, and we know that the NIH funded this. So we have him dead to rights on that. Now, the decision to allow the money to go to China is, I don't know if it's a crime, but it may well be the worst judgment, the worst decision in modern medical history or public health history, to allow money to go to a totalitarian regime without sufficient controls. And then as they're seeing what's coming out of there, not to investigate the idea that it came from the lab, not only not investigate it, to promote the writing of journal articles, scientific journal articles and placement, calling it a conspiracy theory, saying that it should be taken down. There are meetings between Fauci and others with Facebook and Twitter to try to, forbid these from the algorithm from allowing these to spread throughout the internet to suppress any knowledge of the origins of the virus. And that went on for over a year and a half at Facebook until they finally one day admitted, oh, well, you know what? It is a valid theory to say it came from the lab. Whoops, we were wrong. But whoops is not enough. The government should not be allowed. And I have legislation that forbids the government from meeting with any members of the media to try to suppress any kind of constitutionally protected speech.
I'm sure you've seen this clip of former NIH Director Francis Collins, but for those who haven't, here he was.
We weren't really considering the consequences in communities that were not New York City or some other big city. The public health people, we talked about this earlier, and this is a really important point. If you're a public health person and you're trying to make a decision, you have this very narrow view of what the right decision is, and that is something that will save a life. Doesn't matter what else happens. So you attach infinite value to stopping the disease and saving a life. You attach a zero value to whether this actually totally disrupts people's lives, ruins the economy, and has many kids kept out of school in a way that they never right, quite require.
Collateral damage.
So there, collateral damage. This is a public health mindset, and I think a lot of us involved in trying to make those recommendations had that mindset, and that was really unfortunate. It's another mistake we made.
Senator, unlike Dr. Jill Biden, you are actually a doctor as well. And is that the mentality of the medical profession in this country? We don't consider mental health. We don't consider any other factors. Somebody gets the sniffles and we just destroy the United States of America. Is that what doctors think now in this country?
I think it depends on the physicians. Physicians or people that are involved in government medicine tend to be very much from the left. They're not people who believe in individual choice. They don't care whether you have a choice to get a vaccine or not. They really think that one size fits all and therefore universal prescriptions. So for example, recommending treatment for people is individualized. So if you ask me whether your 80-year-old parents should take a vaccine in 2020, I would have probably said yes for COVID. But if you ask me whether your 10-year-old needed to take a vaccine, I would say no. And now I would say definitely not your 10-year-old, and I would say it's unclear for the 80-year-old because the CDC won't release to us the statistics on whether or not prior infection actually is enough to prevent you from going to the hospital or dying. I think it probably is. It definitely is very valuable to have been infected and survived, but they won't add that in because they want you just to blindly get vaccinated again and again, which makes some of us wonder whether or not the public health doctors have simply become salesmen for big pharma. So yeah, the attitude that your individual liberty doesn't matter is common to people like Francis Collins and to Anthony Fauci, but I don't think they represent all of physicians. I would say your local physician in your town or the doctor you go to in private practice is much more open to the ideas of liberty, individual liberty, constitutional rights. But unfortunately, the people that gravitate into epidemiology and into government circles, they think they know all. In fact, many of these people, Fauci and Collins, were envious of China, and they thought if we could just, you know, weld people's doors shut, and if we just had the stomach to do what China did, we'd stop this in its tracks. It turns out that even some of those draconian things, which I would never favor doing, really don't work either. Some of the things like standing 6 feet apart, there was no science behind them. Anthony Fauci wearing two masks, completely theater with no science to back it up. In fact, the final analysis of 78 randomized controlled studies shows that masks didn't prevent the disease from spreading. They don't work in public use.
Senator, you mentioned the CDC covering up critical public health information. We have that information. We also have the latest and greatest, or horrible. I mean, every part of this is horrible. Lloyd Austin has prostate cancer. That's horrible. He also doesn't tell anyone when he goes in for treatment, and no one in the government apparently knows when the defense secretary has to go in for cancer treatment. Exactly how broken, corrupt, and deceptive is this government that we have?
I think the real problem that's evident by this situation with Secretary Austin is that the Biden administration so much discounts President Biden's involvement in the day-to-day running of the country that he's more of a figurehead even to his own people that nobody bothered to tell him that the Secretary of Defense wasn't around. Now, some of this may originate with the Secretary of Defense. It really probably is his responsibility, you would think, not to say to his secretary, hey, I'm sick and going to be in the hospital for a couple of days. But it's really incumbent upon someone at that level to actually call, I would think, directly the Assistant Secretary of Defense and or the president, you would think, and say that I might be incapacitated for a few days. Now, my understanding is when he had surgery on December 22nd, he did do that. He officially did the right thing and turned over his duties for a day to the Assistant Secretary of State, but he didn't do it when he got sick again. But that's not a small oversight. To you or I or somebody working in a corporation, it would be an oversight. To someone who's aware of and an integral part of nuclear decision-making process, military activities around the globe, to a decision-maker like that, I think it's an inexcusable decision, but it sort of reflects that perhaps people didn't think Biden was important enough to notify because Biden is more of a figurehead than actually the president.
Yeah, what a shock that guy's not actually making decisions. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Come back soon. All right, let's talk about the economy. Now, speaking of the economy, we're all trying to cut costs and figure out how to maintain a standard of living, right? You see that credit card debt's going through the roof right now. People are draining their savings. It's awful. One of the great ways you can cut costs is get out of that timeshare right now. And maybe you're rolling your eyes when I say that. Oh, Jesse, I'd love to. Jesse, easy for you to say, they won't let me out. Well, I understand they don't want to let you out, but they will let you out. You just have to make a phone call. Not to them, though. You need to call Lone Star Transfer. Lone Star Transfer is a family business. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They've helped over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently get out of their timeshares. Go. Make a phone call. Cut costs. Get out of that timeshare free. Be free. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. All right, let's talk about something we haven't talked about in a long time. And before I get to the sky is green theory and Joe Biden's lies, I'll tell you this. You know I'm good buddies with Buck Sexton, formerly of the First, still very much a friend of the First. And Buck and I were talking one day about communism and history and the Soviet Union and things like that. And what Buck and I were talking about was the amount of deception. Because when you read these old books, books from the Soviet Union, people who were stuck in it, people who survived it, the level of deception ended up being so baked in the cake that it was just kind of part of society. Meaning, when you were a Soviet citizen, their government was so corrupt, so dishonest, that it was something everyone just snickered about. You knew you would turn on the news that night, and you knew you would find out that there had been a record crop that year, and the Soviet Union is about to come back. And of course, none of those things were ever true at all. But the government was so rotted and corrupt, it was just part of society. It was just kind of baked into your daily life. You knew your government was evil and would lie about everything at all times. And that's where we are as a country. Just before I get to the Biden lies, I have a theory on this. I haven't gone over it in a while, so I might as well for all of our new viewers. I have something called the sky is green theory, talking about the power of the lies and the propaganda today. And here's how the sky is green theory goes. If the system woke up tomorrow and they decided they wanted the American people to believe the sky is green, they could be very successful in that. And I know you're thinking, Jesse, that's crazy. They could never do that. Jesse, I have eyes. I'm looking at the sky. The sky is blue. What are you talking about? But you don't understand the power of propaganda and lies. They would have expert after expert after expert on the television. Dr. Nerd from Stanford. Oh, my gosh. We ran some studies and the sky is green. They would have news broadcast after news broadcast, written story. You'd be reading about the green sky in the New York Times. Hollywood would, of course, get in on it. They'd start CGI-ing the sky green in movies and television. The president would talk about the excitement of discovering the sky being green. Teachers would teach your child in school, say, the sky is green, Johnny, or you can't pass this year. Over and over and over and over and over again, a steady drumbeat. The sky is green, the sky is green. And soon, half the population would believe something they can look up with their own eyes and know is a lie. Joe Biden, he tells some of the most gigantic lies I've ever seen. Lies like this one about jobs.
Shovels in the ground, cranes in the air, factories opening, all those jobs, meaning we created.
We've created more than 12,000 brand new jobs in 2 years. That's more than any president in American history has created in 4 years.
That means overall, we've created more jobs in 2 years than any administration has created in the first 4 years. And I think all this matters. It's no accident.
Our economy has created 10 million jobs, 668 manufacturing jobs.
They were wrong. We recovered all the manufacturing jobs we lost during the pandemic.
If you look at my presidency so far, it's a jobs presidency.
Yeah, all those things are lies. And you know how we get a jobs report all the time? You get a jobs report at the end of the year. They gave us a jobs report at the end of 2023. Woohoo! Well, you're going to love how the government admits that they blatantly lied. The jobs report we got was just revised down by 749,000 jobs. That's exactly the terminology they used too. It was revised down. Hold on, wait, what? Revised down? What does that mean? They lied. That means they lied about the jobs that are there. They lied about the jobs that are created. Now that the economy is in the toilet and continues to circle the drain thanks to these communist policies with no evidence it's going to bounce back, now they're not going to change tactics. They're not going to change their ways. The communist doesn't think that way. They're just going to now lie over and over and over and over and over again. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. You want to know why you show up at Thanksgiving? You show up at Christmas time and liberal Aunt Peggy's in there screaming about what a great job President Joe Biden was. It's because liberal Aunt Peggy actually believes the sky is green. They do the same thing with the debt. You hear me scream about the debt all the time. No one else cares about the debt. But remember, we've talked about this before. Doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Rand Paul, you name it. Republican, Democrat, they all know. Every one of them. Ones you love, ones you hate. Every single one of these people knows that we have a debt crisis coming if we don't do something drastic to stop spending more than we make. You can't avoid it. It's a math problem. It's not an ideological problem, not left, right. It's math. You can't avoid it. Yet, nobody has cut a dime. No one's even making a serious effort to cut a dime. In fact, the national debt is now increasing by $1 trillion every 3 months, and that number is going to get even faster. It's not just that a debt crisis is coming. We will have it in our lifetime, yours and mine. We will. Unless you're about to die tomorrow, it's coming. And they're not going to stop spending. Instead, what do? They lie.
We actually cut the federal debt, the deficit, by $1.7 trillion. Hear me? But guess what? In 2 years, I've cut the national debt by $1.7 trillion. I might note parenthetically, in my first 2 years, I reduced the debt by $1.7 trillion. No president's ever done that. For example, in the first 2 years of my administration, I cut the debt by $1.7 trillion. 1.7 more than anybody's ever done in history.
What? The national debt's never gone down in my lifetime or yours. Brazen lies. The national debt is climbing, and it's climbing quickly. So all this is horrific, right? So why in the world would Norm or Norma, why would they ever vote Democrat this 2024? What's the plan? What are Democrats going to run on? Just brazen lies? Well, that for sure, but they're going to run on something else. I know Democrat rhetoric about the apocalyptic results of a Republican being elected, they're not exactly new. You're going to hear a ramp up of rhetoric like this from Whoopi Goldberg a lot in 2024.
In fact, there's a reason Joe Biden ran the way he did. There's a reason he's running for democracy now, because that's really what's at stake. You worried that you can't pay your bill? Wait till the other guy becomes president and you won't have to worry about it because you'll be in some camp somewhere, because that's his promise.
There's going to be a lot of that. Gear up for 2024. All right, before we go talk to Kevin Roberts, president of Heritage, about the World Economic Forum and other things, I want you to understand something. We have an app. You know that, right? For your phone, your pad, whatever. There's a First TV app. Why not have all the greatness of the First TV? Why not have all the greatness of me in the palm of your hands? Go download the First TV app and enjoy it, okay? We'll be back.
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on, so that we penetrate the cabinets.
They don't exactly hide it, do they? They penetrate the cabinets. Somebody's penetrating the World Economic Forum, and I'm thrilled about it. I can't wait to ask Kevin about this. Joining me now, Kevin Roberts, great president of the Heritage Foundation. Kevin, World Economic Forum is meeting, and you're going? There's no way you got invited to the WEF.
Oh, Jesse, man, thanks for having me. But when that invitation came in last month, I turned to my colleagues and I said, this is like a college buddy playing a joke on me. They know what they're getting, right? But after thinking about it, I mean, this is not just high on my list. It's not on my list at all to ever do. I thought, well, as president of the Heritage Foundation, I get to advocate on behalf of everyday real Americans and free people around the world. I'm accepting this invitation, and I'm going to go read them the Riot Act.
Okay, now, who exactly are you going to be meeting? Because I got to tell you, some of these people, Kevin, Yuval Noah Harari and some of these evil demons that work for that organization, are they going to sit down with you?
Well, we'll see. Supposedly, apparently, the attendance at the session that I will be in is well registered. Maybe that will change between now and then. But the one thing we're counting on, Jesse, just to be frank, is that we're going to use their platform, their reach in media, to deliver a message that is rarely, if ever, mentioned there. And it's a message about truth. It's common sense. It's what you cover on your show every day, right? But the point is, they're going to hear the truth from me about the nonsense of COVID lockdowns, about flying there on private jets and talking about climate change, about basically, ultimately, taking away our self-governance, our sovereignty, ripping all of that away, because that's what we talk about at Heritage. That's what you talk about. And maybe, just maybe, Jesse, a few of them will have their minds changed or at least be willing to listen. And I certainly go there in that spirit with the heart of a teacher. But ultimately, I'm going to be sort of wagging my finger, which they like to do to us.
Yes. You're going to be lecturing on what to expect from a Republican administration in 2025, Lord willing. And Kevin, obviously, I'm going to be rooting for the Republican, whoever it is, and I'll be voting for the Republican. But the more and more I see how pathetic this DC GOP is, the less excited I get. We're about to get another spending deal that doesn't cut a single nickel. Chuck Schumer's bragging about it. Why am I supposed to be excited about a Republican administration? They locked us down for COVID. They spend as much or more than Democrats do. What are Republicans supposed to be?
Yeah, well, let me mention this preface very importantly. It's a huge agreement with you. We at Heritage are conservatives first. In fact, we're not capital R Republicans at all. And it drives Republicans in D.C. crazy when they hear me say that. But the reason we say that is because the Republican establishment in D.C., including when they've been in the executive branch, has spent too much money. They shut us down during the COVID years, and they shouldn't have done that, to your point. So ultimately, we should be excited about a conservative administration if and only if that man or woman leading the ticket, leading the movement, is willing to hire thousands of conservative men and women, most of them not in D.C., that is, people who are willing to go into the administration and basically dismantle the administrative state. If we have them, Jesse, and we have the popular will of the American people, and we have great ideas that my colleagues at Heritage and other really good policy groups have come up with, I'm hopeful about the American future. But to your point, if that doesn't happen, basically we're just going to be managing American decline.
Klaus Schwab is warning his people about an anti-system movement. I wonder if he watches the show. Anyway, here was Klaus.
You have this anti-system movement. What we are seeing is a revolution against the system. So fixing the present system is not enough. Now, there is, of course, an anti-system, which is called libertarianism, which means to tear down everything which creates some kind of influence of government into private lives. It's dismantling the system.
Kevin, why do these people, why do they hate free people so much? Because that to me looks like one of the great overarching stories of the world right now, the free governments of the world turning against the free people.
It's the only way to understand the world, that framing that you just mentioned. And I sit here watching Schwab and my blood's boiling because he's the CEO of the system. I try to raise my kids. We've talked about this before, never to work for the man. He is the man, right? But to your question, the reason that they hate free people so much is because if we, the people, have freedom, if we're able to exercise our sovereignty, Jesse, then it undermines the accretion of power, the concentration of power and wealth that Klaus Schwab and all of his compatriots have imposed on us over the last few decades. But the good news, and you know that I don't believe in hollow optimism, so I truly believe this is good news. The good news is that free people around the world are rising up. They're doing so in Europe. They did so recently in Argentina. I think they will do so very soon in Taiwan this weekend. And back to your question about America and the very reason I'm, or topic I'm speaking on in Davos, I think that's going to happen in 2024, because ultimately, as I mentioned in an op-ed today, if the free people and their will are not honored by those in power, then the free people will take matters into their own hands. I hate the idea of violence, obviously. We believe in civility at Heritage, but we in our individual lives and on the social level believe that everything is at a breaking point. That's not just an emotion, it's a reality. And it's about time that we break the stranglehold of these self-appointed elites and take back power.
Kevin, I'm going to ask something that's going to be, it's hard for me to ask as someone who loves my country. It's going to be hard probably for you to answer because I know you're the same way, but you mentioned Argentina, you mentioned Europe, you mentioned these places, places that are rising up, fighting back for freedom on behalf of freedom, and that in America we're going to do that. Why haven't we done it yet? Why aren't we leading on that? America is supposed to be the land of the free. It's supposed to be our DNA. We lead with the freedom movement, and then other people follow. We're following Argentina now? Is that how far we've fallen?
That's a good observation, my friend, and I know that you don't enjoy asking that question any more than I enjoy answering it, but I will, out of respect for you and respect for the truth. We shouldn't be following Argentina. We ought to be leading the way. Mm-hmm. The reason we haven't done so, frankly, is because we have a lot of self-appointed elites in Washington, D.C., who at the federal level, and frankly, these are both Democrats and Republicans, at the federal level, have placed their own power, probably even their own wealth, over the priority of the will of the people. The good news, though, Jesse, the reason I believe firmly that we're on the brink of turning the corner is if you look at states, if you look at the local level, while many cities are just utter garbage, at the state and local levels, we have seen a lot of conservative or just common sense minded Americans stand up. We've seen great policy successes. This is the key. We have to harness that energy we've seen at those state and local levels. We have to harness those ideas, and we have to impose those ideas and the popular will on Washington, not the other way around. And it's one of those things where, purely in a figurative sense, we can't take any prisoners, right? In a policy and idea sense, we have to impose our will on the next administration, the next Congress. If we do that this year and next, then I'm very hopeful about the American future.
You have a piece on Heritage, which I love, called Dismantle the Teacher Accreditation Cartel. This is one of those things normal people don't think about. They see the fruits of an evil education system. They see, you know, a generation of America haters, and they ask, how did this happen? But there's a story behind the story. What are you talking about?
Yeah, two things. First of all, just on a personal note, this is the very reason I left my job as college president. To get into public policy, it's an esoteric kind of thing. But secondly, everyone should care about it for this reason. If you want to make structural change in education, if you want to wake up next year or 5 years from now and not have the worries in curriculum, the worries about what we're teaching our kids in public schools, for that matter, private schools, then you have to take a step back and ask yourself, what's that one change we can make that has a sweeping impact on the system? This is what the left has done to us in every policy arena, Jesse. This is the change. And so if I had a magic wand and could end at this moment, how we certify, how we accredit teachers, what that's going to do is not just put content area experts, teachers in the classroom, it's also going to make sure that the institutions that hire them, the public schools and the private schools, are not taking money from the federal government. And therefore, they're responding to the wills of their own parents, of their own families, their own communities. This is the kind of policy change that has a massive generational impact. And I'm really gratified to sum up here, Jesse, that even though this seems on the surface to your question like a really esoteric idea, there's a lot of support for this. There are a lot of legislators and state legislatures who want to make this change. And I can guarantee you that at the Heritage Foundation, we're going to be fighting for this over the next couple of years.
Kevin, I love you guys. Next time I'm in D.C., I'm coming to see you. I'm just going to barge right into your office and we're going to have some coffee and bagels or something. All right. We have Light in the Moon. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And look, as you know, lighten the mood is normally, it's very, very fast. So we're going to try to make this one fast. But I just want to put this little disclaimer on there before we play a couple little video clips. If this lighten the mood lasts longer than 4 hours, please call your doctor. Anyway, here's Representative Pramila Jayapal today. I had no idea Trump had the ability to incite things like this.
Let's talk about the fact that President Trump incited an erection. And maybe that too.
It's not a one-off. They keep making this same mistake.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy hands him more than 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage from the January 6th insurrection.
Senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection. If they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection.
I see them all.